Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Kevin Moore Show. I'm Kevin Moore, and it is a pleasure to be spending the next hour with you. Our opening musical selection was Promises, Promises, a wonderful song from the great composer Burt Bacharach. And that's what I have for all of you today, the promise that this next hour will be informative, interesting, provocative, and maybe even a little exciting. A promise that our discussions will give you something to think about today and hopefully something to talk about tomorrow. Or what I'd like to think of as a civilized hour of culture and conversation. Well, as I like to do to begin each of our shows, I like to read or share a recent poignant story or an especially interesting essay or some philosophical quotes or thoughts or sometimes even a little poetry that touches or speaks to us all. Well, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Here we are again, celebrating a holiday but like no other, I guess, right? What we're hearing, of course, is to be safe and make sure that our celebrations aren't as elaborate as they have been in the past, certainly not as well attended, but nonetheless, a reason to celebrate this year, Thanksgiving, for all of us. So I thought I'd read a little essay, The Importance of Thanksgiving Every Day, by David Leonhardt. Thanksgiving is the most important holiday of the year. Oh, sure, Christmas is grand, and I know it has many, many fans. I'm not knocking Christmas, but Thanksgiving is so very important, too. And Easter has its fans, also. Rebirth is a wonderful thing. And, yes, kids jump for joy at the thought of Halloween. And I'm sure they enjoy the costumes almost as much as an overdose on sugar and chocolate. But Thanksgiving story is even more important. Why? Well, because the two most important words in the English language are thank you. This is true for business success, for social pleasure, even for self-actualization. For business success, a thank you tells a prospect or partner that you are appreciative of what he or she has done. It shows you have a genuine interest in that person and the business relationship. For social interaction, expressing gratitude is equally important to show how you value the other person and the social relationship you have with him. Thank you is a bonding phrase. But Thanksgiving is most important on a personal level for our own happiness. This is true for anybody who has ever lived, but is even more true for us today. Consider how much we have. More than any of our ancestors, we live in the land of plenty. We have more than anybody who lived at any time before. And for those of us who live in the developed world, we have more than most people on our little planet even today. I'm not just talking about our abundance of stuff. Oh, sure, we have 10-foot-tall digital color televisions and computers that send us around the world faster than the speed of a race car. And we throw out more junk than we could ever find for use in the first place. But we have so much more than just stuff. Consider the following. Freedom. More of the world lives in a democracy than ever before, and democracy is becoming more open or democratic with every year. Opportunities. With freedom and affluence comes opportunity. We have more opportunity to make more money, to earn it the way we wish, to choose our profession, our location, even our lifestyle. Knowledge. With freedom comes the ability to satisfy our curiosity. Knowledge. And with knowledge comes a thirst for freedom. But even now, knowledge should not be confused with wisdom. Health. Just surviving past childhood used to be a major accomplishment. Now we expect to live into our 80s or 90s, and we demand to have exceptional health care all along the way, even for those who are afraid to go to the doctor. Now, this list could keep growing, but these are the major benefits for living in 21st century North America. What does that have to do with Thanksgiving Day and happiness? Well, follow this train of thought. Whatever you have, you can either appreciate it or not. If you appreciate it, I mean really notice that you have it, that you feel good about having it, it will bring you happiness. However, if you get used to it, take it for granted, and focus on things you don't have, what you do have just won't bring you happiness. Appreciation is the key to happiness. Whatever you truly and proactively appreciate, whether stuff or education or a vacation, will bring you happiness. But in this fast-paced, overstimulated society, how can we appreciate sometimes anything? It seems the more we have, the more we want. The more we want, the less we appreciate what we have. The less we appreciate, the less value there is to having anything, which may explain why we keep wanting more. How can we learn to appreciate our abundance and live a happy life? The secret to feeling that appreciation we often overlook is in expressing our gratitude vocally or in writing. How can we possibly fail to appreciate something when we say, "Thank you for it," and focus our attention on the appreciation? Christmas is important. Easter is important. Halloween is important for the kids. But for our own personal happiness, there is nothing like a truly heartfelt Thanksgiving. Interesting little essay by David Leonhardt, "The Importance of Thanksgiving Every Day," reminds me of a quote from many, many, many thousands of years ago by Marcus Aurelius Cicero. And David mentions it in his essay. Gratitude. Gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but it is also the parent of all the others. Gratitude. Let's enjoy a little Astra Gilberto, "The Girl from Ipanema," and we'll be back on the Kevin Moore Show. Ding, 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 bing, ding, ding.
Olha que coisa mais linda, mais cheia de graça, ela menina que vem e que passa, num doce balanço caminho do mar. Moça do corpo dourado, do sol de Ipanema, o seu balançado é mais que um poema, é a coisa mais linda que eu já vi passar. Por que estou tão sozinho? Ah, por que tudo é tão triste? Ah, a beleza que existe, a beleza que não é só minha, que também passa sozinha. Ah, se ela soubesse que quando ela passa, o mundo sorrindo se enche de graça e fica mais lindo por causa do amor. Thank you.
the girl from Ipanema, and we're back on the Kevin Moore Show. In 1845, immigrant Scots gathered in a burgeoning village of 12,000 residents called Chicago. They formed Illinois' first and still oldest charity, the Illinois St. Andrew Society. Now known as the Chicago Scots, the organization's mission is to nourish Scottish identity through service, fellowship, and celebration of Scottish culture. Around the world, there are many societies that celebrate Scotland's culture, but there is only one that has developed an elder care community as defined charitable purpose. For more than 100 years, the Chicago Scots have served seniors and their families at Caledonia Senior Living, a 5-acre campus nestled in the Forest Preserve just west of downtown Chicago. The Chicago Scots also reach out to the next generation by providing scholarships to students in Scotland and the United States. The Chicago Scots host events like the Scottish Festival and Highland Games to educate, entertain, and promote Scottish culture. The Chicago Scots organize initiatives like the Scottish History Forum, Scottish Genealogy Society, and the world's only Scottish American Museum and Hall of Fame to tell the stories of Scottish journeys to and experiencing in North America. The Chicago Scots welcome everyone who is Scottish by birth, by heritage, or simply by inclination. The Chicago Scots, the first and oldest nonprofit organization in Illinois, officially is kicking off their historic 175th anniversary year by hosting the 175th annual St. Andrew's Day Gala, the Feast of the Haggis, on Monday, November 30th. This event, held annually even in times of war, depression, and pandemics, will be hosted virtually for the first time since its inception, to keep the safety of all patrons and participants of the utmost importance. All proceeds of the event will benefit the Chicago Scots principal charity, Caledonia Senior Living and Memory Care. And on the line with us right now is the businessman, entrepreneur, noble Scotsman, direct descendant of the original Scottish patriot and braveheart William Wallace, member of the esteemed St. Andrew Society, dedicated to serving the Scottish communities, preserving the Scottish heritage, and advancing the Scottish culture, and the president and CEO of the Illinois St. Andrew Society, now presenting and celebrating their 175th anniversary by hosting the 175th annual St. Andrew's Day Gala, the Feast of the Haggis, virtually for the first time on Monday, November 30th, our good pal, Mr. Gus Noble. Gus, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Thanks, Kevin. It's great to be with you. Hope you're well.
Well, I am, and I hope you are, and everybody and our Scottish friends are, and a little different this year, my friend. We have a virtual celebration of the Feast of the Haggis.
It is. It is. We figured, you know, we made great plans. This being the land of Daniel Burnham, we made no small plans to celebrate our 175th. We knew that as the oldest charity in Illinois, we'd be the first to celebrate this landmark anniversary. But COVID-19, and, you know, Robert Burns, the great Scottish poet, has this line, "The best laid schemes of mice and men gang after glay." And certainly that's what happened. But Scots, you can't keep a good Scot down. You know, we are inventive and we're fond of a party. So we thought we'll pivot and we'll have our party on the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Cyberspace.
Well, you can't keep a good Scots down, but you can drink a good Scotch down once in a while, and I'm sure you do that, and you will, celebrating, of course, the 175th annual St. Andrew's Day Gala. And it's the Feast of the Haggis. Now, for those who are not Scottish like you and I, what define a haggis for everyone here.
Well, the first thing I would say is everyone is Scottish. We welcome everyone who's Scottish by birth, heritage, or simply by inclination.
Exactly. So you're, I love it.
If you're fond of anything Scottish, from the dearly departed Sir Sean Connery to golf to whiskey, then you're welcome. There, but you haggis is something I only describe to somebody after they've eaten it. Because if I did it beforehand, I don't think they ever would eat it. It's the chieftain of the pudding race, as Robert Burns called it in his great poem, An Address to the Haggis, which has become proper behavior. You know, you would never eat a haggis without first reading a poem to it, and then it becomes much more tasty. But I should tell you the story, Kevin, of, we've just discovered this in our archives, this story,
Yours is a story. You always got a story, Gus.
It's wonderful. The year is 1949, and the chairman of the Chicago Scots, coming out of the war, as we all were at that particular time, the chairman, Bob Black was his name, he made arrangements with the Lord Lovett over in Glasgow, who had a friend who was a great chef, and he was going to make the haggis for the Chicago Scots to serve our 104th annual St. Andrew's Day dinner in 1949. And this was made in Glasgow, and it was to be shipped 5,000 miles to Chicago by way of London, and then New York, and then Chicago. When it arrived in London, it was inspected by an official of the British Board of Trade, and he said, haggis is food, and the British Great Britain does not export food at the moment, so he ordered it to be grounded. At which point, Bob Black in Chicago roars into action, and he's incensed, and quite literally, he calls the most powerful people he knows, and quite literally takes his problem to the United Nations, as the famous song goes. And within minutes, it's on the floor of the House of Commons in London. And the Paymaster General of the Board of Trade is quizzed over this stranded haggis. It's deemed fit to be exported only if somebody, and there is an unknown hero, steps up. And under the rule that said you can carry food if it is for your own consumption, he takes it over to New York, where it is met by a United States border official that decrees that it is unfit for consumption and causes a risk to cattle because it could bring foot and mouth disease into the country, and orders it to be destroyed immediately by fire. The Scots across the country are incensed, and they make representations to Washington, who then dispatch a Bureau of Farm Industry and Animal Industry out to the airport. They deem that it is indeed fit for consumption. It's then shipped over to O'Hare Airport, where it's met at a snowbound airport with a much friendlier and warmer welcome by the Stockyard Kilty Band, who pipe it into the city of Chicago. And it's served at the Stevens Hotel, addressed by the Robert Burns poem, toasted with whiskey, and enjoyed by the happy Chicago Scots.
A long travel for a haggis.
It is, yeah. The perilous tale of a haggis.
Now, if you're going to have this gala, of course, everybody will have to enjoy their haggis in their own homes themselves and just share the benefit of the enjoyment of it with everyone.
We did. We thought, well, if people can't come to the feast, then the feast will come to them, the Feast of the Haggis. And we called our pal over in Scotland, the National Chef of Scotland, who's called Gary McLean. He won Scotland's equivalent of Top Chef, became a household name, and is the appointed National Chef of Scotland. And he helped curate a menu. And in this feast in a box, which is delivered to people, there is a video link that you can cook along with the National Chef of Scotland, and there are selected ingredients for this three-course meal that you can prepare. And we hope that people will choose to cook together. And then on the evening of St. Andrew's Day itself, which is the 30th of November, Monday, I'm going to film a little bit at the place where the society started in the year 1845, which is literally right by the river where the Lake House once stood. And the Lake House in 1845 was the finest hotel in Chicago. Sadly, it's now gone, but it stood where the Wrigley Building now stands. And I'll start off this celebration by filming a welcome at the point where it all began, literally 175 years to the day later. And we'll take a trip through our 175-year history, and we'll look at the people and the purposes and the tragedies and triumphs that we've encountered along the way. We'll hear from in the voices of the heroes who helped us overcome those challenges and tragedies and turn them into triumphs. We'll listen to the society's astonishing story through the voices of those heroes. And of course, what I will do is equate the heroism of people who helped us get through the challenges of the Civil War, two world wars, the Great Chicago Fire, the Great Depression, the 1918 pandemic, and now the heroes who face the crisis of our time are the people who live and work in our elder care community at Caledonia Senior Living. And we'll raise money, hopefully, at the event to support the incredible work that they're doing to keep everyone safe here.
You know, a group of people is only as good as its leader, and certainly people recognize that, Gus. I know that the Caledonia Senior Living and Memory Care Facility is something that's near and dear to your heart. You have been working hard on this over the years to put this together and build this and have people enjoy this and come and live a calm and peaceful life. And it's a wonderful thing that you're doing. And tell us a little bit about what's going over at Caledonia.
Thanks for asking, Kevin. I appreciate your generous and thoughtful and kind words. At the height of the pandemic, right at Mother's Day, actually, I looked my wife and my family in the eye the day before Mother's Day and said, "Look, I'm going to need to take a pass on Mother's Day this year. I hope you'll forgive me, but I need to move into the community. I need to go and live there, stand shoulder to shoulder with the people who work there and who live there. I want to see the world through their eyes. If I'm truly to understand what's happening, I have to be with them." And for mercifully and generously, my wife agreed. She said, "It'll cost you down the line," and I'm still waiting for that bill to come in. But I wanted to see the world. I wanted to see the world through their eyes, and I also wanted them to see me here at the community both night and day, all hours of the day. And I took off my tie. I normally wear a tartan tie for work every day, but I realized that people often get intimidated by the guy in the tie that sits up in the office upstairs. And I wanted to create or nurture and enhance the feeling that was already there, that we're all in this together.
A sense of accessibility, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And the best thing I did all summer, people think I'm nuts for saying this, but the best thing I did was fix the deck on the back of my house. I whacked my thumb with a hammer, and it turned black and blue. But that's the best conversation starter you'll ever have. People say, "How did you do that?" "Well, I was fixing the deck on the back of my house." And because I'm talking about hammering nails into a piece of wood, everybody's done that. And I can say, "So what did you do over the weekend? Or have you done any household chores? How did you spend your time with your family?" and so on. And it created a conversation that was not about COVID or work or anything like that. And we had this real sense that we're in this together. When we locked the doors of the home for the first time in 104 years, when we locked the front doors of this home, I immediately thought, my job is now to tell the world what I see behind these locked doors. And I literally see people dignifying time. The time they spend with one another, the time that they come to work, they check their egos by the door and they realize that there's a very simple thing that we've all heard a million times, but this virus spreads so easily. The best way to ensure that you cannot spread the virus is not to get it in the first place.
Sure.
So masking, so hand hygiene and staying a physical distance and doing as you're doing, working from home where you're able, that's the way we get ahead of this virus and protect one another. And, you know, we've had some people, now that we're 9 months into this crisis, some people, as we've all done, we've let our guards down. We've become tired of COVID, and that's how COVID spreads. So we've had some members of our staff have tested positive.
Oh boy.
But here's what they did. As soon as they realized that they had either been exposed or were beginning to show symptoms, they isolated. They called us up. They said, I need to come and be tested and do drive-through testing. And they took themselves away from potential spread. They stopped the spread, and I'm convinced they saved lives within this community. Because to this day, there are no residents with COVID-19 at Caledonia Senior Living, which is
That's an amazing statistic, Gus. It really is for a situation like that where you have people who are, you know, compromised immune systems, and they're older people and so forth, and they have certain physical limitations. Not to have a problem like this, that's amazing. Congratulations, and I hope it continues. God bless you for that.
Thank you. I pass your thanks on and congratulations to the team, because it's all due to them. I'm simply the guy that talks about haggis and whiskey and the Loch Ness Monster. No, I'm not the guy that has made this happen. It's really the team.
You know, as we're talking here, I'm just thinking, I think this would make a great video, a great public service video, or a great a story. Somehow we should talk about that. You and I put a video together and travel through the Caledonia Senior Living and Memory Care so people can get the word out and understand what's going on. Visually, they could see this. Of course, this would happen, you know, once we're a little farther away from this terrible virus that we're all experiencing. But I think this would be something that would be interesting to get the word out, and from a media standpoint. And you've seen it all, public services announcements, you know, interesting videos about different places and so forth. It might be something we should have a conversation about, Gus.
Love that, Kevin. That'd be great.
Yeah. So Monday the 30th. Now, what time does the gala start?
6:30 is when the curtain will go up, and this is the first time we're trying something like this. We did have a virtual Highland Games when we realized it wasn't safe for us all to be together. We kind of pivoted and thought, how do we do this? You know, what does this look like? And we realized that we would never be able to put on an event in the same way that you would if you're all in the same place to enjoy the athletes and the dancing and so on. But we kind of looked at it from a slightly different angle and got to know the personalities and the traditions behind caber tossing and bagpiping and, you know, interviews with the community and so on. So we thought, let's try a golf tournament, and we had our annual golf tournament virtually as a scramble around the world with people playing golf courses wherever they were. And, you know, we used the slope to equalize scores, and it was great fun. Had a party online in the virtual clubhouse and raised a few whiskeys and told a few jokes. This is slightly different. This is the longest running dinner in the city of Chicago. We've had 174 of them before, never missed a year.
Wow.
So I'm going to take a can of haggis, and there is a can of haggis in my office ready for this. I'm going to sit at a table for one with a whiskey, and I'm going to have the feast of the haggis so we can say we never, ever missed a year.
There you go.
Right? But the rest of the event will be a look at our history. It's an educational opportunity to see how the society thrived through all these years and survived and prevailed. We'll present a couple of awards to the most thoughtful leader and supporter we've had in certainly in our recent history, a man called Peter Georgeson, whose company, Scott Forge, is one of the biggest forging companies in the world here in, it's located here in Illinois. There's a wing named after the Georgeson family, who originally came from Scotland in the Shetland Islands. And so we'll present Peter with the highest honor we can bestow, our Distinguished Citizen Award. And we have messages of congratulation, of memories from former Distinguished Citizens to welcome Peter into their fold and to talk about what the honor meant to them and what Scottish identity in Scotland means to them. We'll take a tour of Rose Hill Cemetery, where the society, the Scottish community, is one of the biggest and certainly the oldest landowners there. We had a mission in 1845 to relieve the distressed, and we articulated a purpose to support that mission, that no deserving Scot in need would go without food, shelter, medical attention, or be buried in a potter's field. So we bought, the first acquisition was an area of land at Rose Hill Cemetery. And we bought that in 1858. The year before, actually, the cemetery was founded itself, we made arrangements to buy this land. And in this first area of land, there are 67 Scots at dignified rest. We bought a second area of land, and there are now 400 Scots at dignified rest in this area of land. And probably, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of Scots buried there, many of whom were presidents of this great society. So we'll take a trip and have a look at the Rose Hill Cemetery. We're going to have a special award newly created this year, the Macker of Scotland. The Macker is the Poet Laureate of Scotland. She's an incredible woman called Jackie Kay, and she's become, you know, the voice of Scotland through poetry. And so we've created a new award called the Macker's Medal. And Jackie will be the inaugural recipient, and she has agreed to write a poem to celebrate the 175th anniversary of the Chicago Scots, and it will be debuted at this event. And I just heard this morning that to introduce the Macker is one of her best friends. You could not get a higher person in this capacity, but the First Minister of Scotland, who is our Prime Minister or our President.
Wow, that's great.
It's incredible. Office of Scottish Affairs in D.C. helped make this happen. So we have a really varied program that's going to be... the way I envisage this all coming together is something like a Ken Burns documentary.
And as an interesting, too.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of frightened myself watching an interview with Ken Burns on 60 Minutes last weekend, actually, and I'm still putting together, you know, the final scripts and photos and all the content. And Ken Burns is there saying, being interviewed about how much work he puts into a project. And he says to the camera, looking the camera square into the eye, he says, "It takes me 8 years to make one of my one-hour documentaries." And I go, "Oh, my God, I've got 2 weeks."
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. You know, there's a saying, we stand on the shoulders of those who have come before us. And I think no one reflects that more so than you. Gus, I had the opportunity of watching a very interesting special on PBS the other day about the making of Fiddler on the Roof. And one of the great songs, of course, in Fiddler on the Roof is Tradition. Mm-hmm. And I think this is what you perpetuate and you continue to introduce young people to and understand that tradition is what keeps all of this rolling forward. Those who have come before us and the great things they've accomplished and the great things you are accomplishing that people in years to come appreciate that Gus Noble has been such an integral part of this. You know, there's a saying, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. And you certainly, show that every day of your life in the way you invest your life and engage the community and engage the Scottish community and everybody in the success and the things that you do. So for everybody, I say thank you for that, Gus.
Well, that's very kind of you to say that, Kevin. I appreciate that. Thank you.
You know, I miss the fact that we couldn't have our usual conversation that we've had for many years about, you know, the Highland Games, and we always have fun having our bagpiper over there and talk about what's going on with the Scottish culture and so forth. And Davy Johnston, please give him our best. Tell him we missed him this year, but the way things are, we hope we can pick it up again next year. You know, because we've been doing it for many years, Gus.
I know, we certainly will. We will pick it up next year. And I should tell you one other quick story about bagpiping.
Sure.
Middle of the lockdown, you know, here in Caledonia Senior Living, we'd locked the doors, and I'd begun to kind of worry about the impact of that on both the care community we have, the elder care community, but also the cultural community that we have, because many of the cultural activities the Scottish stuff that happens takes place here at Caledonia Senior Living. There's a dance studio in the basement. We have a museum. The pipe bands come and rehearse and have meetings. There's a history club, etc. And I thought, you know, what is to become of all that stuff? And so I'm kind of sitting on a Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock in my office and kind of thinking through how do we deal with, you know, the practicalities of COVID. When a bagpiper starts playing and I hear this rousing noise reverberate around this kind of very bucolic setting we have here in the middle of the forest preserve. And I look out my window and there are the dancers, the Highland dancers, who have been coming to the Scottish Home for years to rehearse. And they've got to know the residents by their weekly rehearsals coming in. They've become friends with them and they miss them. So they show up on a Tuesday afternoon and outside the resident windows in our gardens and our courtyards, one dancer for each resident is performing outside their windows. And this happened and still happens every Tuesday, every week. The dancers show up, rain or shine.
Wow.
And it is the most incredible thing. Pipes are rousing noises. There's a reason that they played them. There was a piper going into battle because it's heard, you know, over the screams of war and the noises of war. You can hear the piper play and it rouses the spirit and determination. And so it was with this piper that shows up every week and plays. He steals all of our determination that we will get through this. And Kevin, we will be together to salute the good times ahead of us with Dave Johnson and the Highland Games. We will be together again.
From your mouth to God's ears, Gus, and God bless you for what you're doing. Established in 1845, the Illinois St. Andrew Society is the oldest charity in the state of Illinois. This year, the Society celebrates its 175th anniversary. The mission of the Illinois St. Andrew Society is to nourish the Scottish identity in Illinois by serving the community of Scots, our families and our friends, and by celebrating both traditional and contemporary Scottish culture. The goals of the Illinois St. Andrew Society are to serve our Scottish community, preserve our Scottish heritage, and advance our Scottish culture. The Chicago Scots, the first and oldest nonprofit organization in Illinois, officially is kicking off their historic 175th anniversary year by hosting the 175th annual St. Andrew's Day Gala, the Feast of the Haggis, on Monday, November 30th at 6:30. This event, held annually even in times of war, depression, and pandemics, will be hosted virtually for the first time since its inception to keep the safety of all patrons and participants of the utmost importance. All proceeds of the event will benefit the Chicago Scots principal charity, the Caledonia Senior Living and Memory Care Facility. And on the line with us right now is the CEO and the president of the Illinois St. Andrew Society, our good pal, Gus Noble. Gus, always a pleasure to chat with you, and it's always a joy, and you always bring a smile on my face, as you do to everyone whose lives you touch, Gus.
Well, thank you. Look forward to being with you again soon. Thanks for having me on, and everybody stay strong and be well out there. If you can spread anything at all, make it love.
Gus, is there a phone number or website people can log on to get some information if they'd like to join everybody with the Haggis on the 30th?
Sure. The website is chicagoscots.org, and the phone number for the office here is 708-447-5092. That's for Chicago Scots and Caledonia Senior Living.
God bless you, my friend. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and let's keep in touch.
You got it. Be well.
Thank you, Gus.
Thanks, Kevin. Bye.
Gus Noble, the Chief Executive Officer in the St. Andrew Society, now presenting the 175th anniversary of the Feast of the Haggis, virtually for the first time on Monday, November 30th. And for information, please log on to their website, www.chicagoscots.org. Here's a little interesting article. What does your favorite pie say about you? Well, if you like an apple pie for Thanksgiving, it means you're independent, realistic, and compassionate. If you'd like a pecan pie, which I enjoy a pecan pie, thoughtful and analytical. If you like one of those chocolate cream pies, that means you're loving. And finally, if you have one of the most popular pies, a pumpkin pie, means you're funny and independent. So, that's what your favorite pie says about you. The history of cheese fondue dates back to the sheep and goat herders of the 1500s. While moving their flocks across the mountain valleys of Switzerland, they would carry cheese, bread, and wine. Over the time, the shepherds learned to melt the cheese into the wine and dip their breads into the cheese, hence creating cheese fondue. Known for romantic fondue dining, food one prepares and shares, and an extensive list of fine, moderately priced wines, Gaillaz Café features over 20 different types of fondue entrees, including cheese fondue and chocolate dessert fondue. The Chicago Institution has been the site of tens of thousands of first dates, over 15,000 engagements, and diners have enjoyed over 300 tons of cheese fondue and almost a million bottles of wine in Gaillaz over 40, how many years, 60 years or so?
55 years.
55-year history. Unbelievable. Gaillaz Café is providing limited outdoor patio dining for those who would like to still enjoy the fall festival on site. But more importantly, very interesting, our good pal Jeff Lawler, Gaillaz Café is also offering a robust Gaillaz to go 7 days a week from 4 to 9 p.m., allowing guests the opportunity to have Gaillaz signature items delivered straight to their doors. Menus include Swiss Gruyere cheese. Well, I'll let Jeff explain that. But what's important is, additionally, Gaillaz is offering to-go cocktails made for two servings, as well as a full fall feast package, which includes Gaillaz all-new mac and cheese fondue. Just a great idea. And I'm just so happy that things are moving so well for Gaillaz. And on the line with us right now is the award-winning leader in the hospitality industry, one of Chicago's great restaurateurs, and the general manager, owner of Chicago's most romantic dining destination, now presenting in his Restaurant of Romance his newest and most innovative way to enjoy the hospitality of Gaillaz Café. Gaillaz to go, 7 days a week from 4 to 9 at Gaillaz Café, 340 West Armitage. The second most romantic guy in Chicago, my good pal Jeff Lawler.
Thank you so much for making this happen. Love talking with you every year.
Always a pleasure. We usually do it on St. Valentine's Day, but now we have a reason to do it for Thanksgiving. And God bless you. I'm glad things are still going well. You still had the restaurant open, of course, for limited dining. But now that we have this new initiative in place, you've come up with some great ideas. Share those with our audience, because those are so very important. People need to still enjoy the romantic dinners at Gaillaz.
Yes. Well, as you know, I mean, for 55 years, Gaillaz has hosted all types of people, celebrating all special occasions inside our restaurant. That's where the experiences happen. But with these shutdowns, both back in the spring and now being shut down, all restaurants and Gaillaz have had to reinvent themselves, okay? So it was simply in the beginning, it was just our cheese and chocolate gourmet meat and cheese boards and stuff like that. But in the summer, we started with our kebab program. We took our beef tenderloin, our shrimp, our and our chicken, and our vegetables, and we made kebabs. And people all have their favorite dipping sauces. So we made a number of combinations with our kebabs and our sauces, and people are eating them up. Then here in the early fall, we rolled out a mac and cheese, okay, made with our Gruyere cheese. It's to die for, and we're in the process of making au gratin potatoes with our Swiss Gruyere cheese fondue.
Just
a couple weeks ago, we rolled out Gaillaz at-home fondue experience. Customers order their dinners, and we supply all the equipment. We supply the pots, the oil, the fondue forks, the sternos, everything you need. You just order your dinners, and you can pick it up. We can deliver it. And all we do is we need the equipment back within 24 hours so that we can use it for somebody else in the next day or so.
Sure.
It's a very exciting program. So, and the probably like the 100 we've already done, people are just loving it. They're having their special occasions at home. They wish they could have it in the restaurant, but they understand they can't. or they're choosing not to, but they can still enjoy Gayhas, what Gayhas has meant to them over the years, and what Gayhas will continue to mean to them.
They miss going to Gayhas. They miss sitting in the romantic restaurant. They miss listening to the flamenco music. They miss having a nice glass of wine and the hospitable experience they have with you and your bride and the staff at Gayhas, which makes everything so special.
It is. They're just loving it in the comforts of their own home. Even my wife and our two daughters last night, we enjoyed it again in our house. And the girls just said, you know what, we miss eating in the restaurant, but this is fantastic. So this coming Saturday, okay, we are doing a suburban drop-off, okay, where in Northbrook, 59 homes, okay, have ordered our Gayhas. 30 of them have ordered the Gayhas at Home Fondue Experience, and the other 29 have ordered our Fall Feast Kebab combination with the salads, with the mac and cheese, and the chocolate fondue. So we rented a 26-foot moving truck, and we're going to load it all up. We're going to drive it up there. People are going to come pick up their what they've ordered, and then they're going to enjoy it on Saturday night. And then come, I'll go back on Sunday to pick up all the equipment that we did. So we're going to start doing these suburban pickups all around the Chicagoland area. So
I think that's a great idea, Jeff. I really do. Don't forget the western suburbs, too. I'm looking at a little a picture of the Home Fondue Experience. We're talking about some delicious dinners here. Beef tenderloin, lobster tail, shrimp, fresh scallops, chicken breast, Australian lobster tail. I mean, this is top of the line. This is to be a lot of fun to have a little fondue private dinner.
It's our full menu. It's our full experience. Any combinations of those meats and seafoods you would like to enjoy, we can make it happen for you.
What about having a little bit of wine accompaniment with the dinners?
You know what? On our when you order our items, we do have a special select list of wines that we have discounted by 25%. And we do have our three cocktails to go. We have our Gayhas Manhattan, okay? And then we have a drink called the Arabian Nights, and that's made up of an Empress Gin with some jasmine syrup and a couple other special ingredients. And then we have a Spider Lily cocktail. And the base of that is Tito's Vodka with Cointreau and a few magical syrups. And so we're having a lot of fun with our cocktails to go.
Now, the Gayhas wine director is a young lady by the name of Darla Lawler. Is she any relation to the owner of the stadium?
Yes, she is a relation as of June 29th, 2018, when she became my wife.
I remember it well. I remember it well.
Yes, you do. Yes.
Just, very exciting, very exciting. And she's excited, too, about what's going on. And, of course, she's participatory in the whole process. But I think this is a great idea, not only having the wine, of course. You know, how many times have we talked about this, that John Davis so many years ago was the first guy to start the wine societies and the wine clubs.
It was the first wine bar for wine society in Chicago, yes, in 1965.
You were still in grammar school.
Northwell Street.
Yeah. You were still in grammar school, yeah?
And, yep, I was. and
I was drinking wine down at Clark Street. And and there you have it. And tell us about where John's at now.
John's in Park City, Utah. Okay. He, his wife, and son are enjoying Park City. John's probably in his office right now looking out a large bay window at the mountains. I believe they've had some snow already, and they're getting ready for this ski season. He's healthy. He's happy. He's very active out there. He works harder now than I think he did when he was here working. He's working harder in retirement, so it's really great to see. He just loves
life. Is he still in the restaurant business?
No, he's not. No, he's fully retired from both the wine club that he had and from Gayhas. But out there, he's involved with a number of charities and just making great things happen for them.
Well, you know, he couldn't be prouder than than you carrying on tradition of what he started so many years ago back in 1965, Gay's Cafe, and making it bigger and better than ever. And what you did here, Jeff, is just remarkable. It really is. It's just terrific, this idea about
him. I mean, it's a blessing. It's a blessing that John Davis and I came together over 26 years ago, and it's a blessing. But we talk on a regular basis, two or three times a week, so it's that close of a relationship. And Darla and I have a new addition to our household. We just got a 8-week-old puppy this past Friday. It's a little Cavapoo. So Darla's actually home training the puppy to be a good puppy. So
good. Well, good luck with that. And certainly what's going on at Geha's, I'm just glad we were able to connect and we were able to get the word out. And if people would like to call, give us a website, or how would they go about it? Do you do it on the website or you do it on
couple
the
things.
Phone?
Yes, you can go right on our website. I recommend people go on our website, gayhouscafe.com. And at the top of the homepage, you'll find the at-home experience. Click on that. When you get to that page, you'll see a video, okay? Yours truly kind of explains everything that you're getting and how to set yourself up for a very enjoyable evening. You can order online, and you can also order by calling the restaurant at 773-281-9101. And one other thing I would like to share with your listeners,
please,
is we do have the three fireplaces outside, and we can only put one party at a time at each fireplace. But here in the middle of December, we're going to be putting pergolas over each fireplace, and they're going to have a roof on top of it, and it's going to have sidewalls. So it's going to be like a cozy little booth around the fire as the snow falls on Geha's patio this coming winter. So
you're something else, buddy. You are really something else. This is a great idea. This is a great idea. It's just wonderful. So, and if you can have your appetizers, you can have your champagne before dinner drinks, aperitifs. You can have your beautiful dinner, and you can have desserts and wines during and after dinner. Everything that Geha's has to offer. Geha's is also offering a robust Geha's to go 7 days a week from 4 to 9 p.m., allowing guests the opportunity to have Geha's signature items delivered straight to their doors. And on the line with us right now is our dear friend Jeff Lawler. Jeff, one more time for a phone number or website.
Okay, Geha's Cafe, GEJAS Cafe.com, and our phone number is 773-281-9101.
Always a pleasure, my pal. I will wish you, Kevin, and Darla and the girls certainly a happy Thanksgiving, and God bless you and your family, and a happy holiday season. And
Let's
plan on talking for Valentine's Day. Can we do that?
We will do that.
Okay, my pal.
Thank you very much.
Take care, my pal.
Cheers.
Bye-bye. Jeff Lawler, the owner of Geha's Cafe, the restaurant of romance, his newest and most innovative way to enjoy the hospitality of Geha's Cafe, Geha's to go, 7 days a week from 4 to 9 p.m. The website, gayhouscafe.com, or give him a call at 773-281-9101. A little poem, What is Thanksgiving, by Grace Cleese. Grace writes, "It's not just about the turkey, the cranberries, and the yams, pies baking in the oven, or the special homemade jams. It is about the blessings and the gifts from God above, all showered down from heaven with God's graces and His love. It includes our families, who all gather at our side to join in the festivities where joy and love abide. We can't forget the pilgrims, those who gathered on our shore, seeking religious freedom and gained it, and so much more. So, on this very special day, let's bow our heads in prayer and tell God we are grateful for His love and endless care. Happy Thanksgiving." Well, that about does it for our show today. I thank you for sharing this last hour with me and hope you, our listeners, have enjoyed this time as much as I have. I'd like to thank our guests, Gus Noble, the CEO and President of the Illinois St. Andrew Society, now presenting the 175th anniversary of the St. Andrew's Day Gala, the Feast of the Haggis, virtually for the first time on Monday, November 30th at 6:30. For information, log on to chicagoscots.org. And our good pal, Jeff Lawler, the owner of the most romantic dining destination in Chicago, his restaurant of romance, Gaia's Cafe. His newest and most innovative way to enjoy the hospitality of Gaia's Cafe, Gaia's To Go. 7 days a week from 4 to 9, 340 West Armitage, or his website, gaiascafe.com. Finally, a famous writer once said one ought every day at least to hear a little song, read a good poem, see a fine picture, and if it were possible, to speak a few reasonable words. I hope on our show today we have at the very least done just that, spoken a few reasonable words. At that, I'd like to wish everyone a good week. And as that British group once said, and in the end, the love that you take is equal to the love that you make. And finally, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, a time of gratitude. Gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough and more. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos to order, confusion to clarity. It can turn a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger into a friend. Gratitude makes a sense of our past, brings peace for today, and creates a vision for tomorrow. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
If we can be the best of lovers, yet be the best of friends. If we can try with every day to make it better as it grows, any luck then I suppose. The music, the music.